Number 2527, LIC Housing LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an independent care facility, restaurant and fitness centre to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 4.83 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of King's Highway, which is Route 9, approximately 0.17 miles southwest of Clay Road, which is Sussex County Route 269. The 911 address is 16770 King's Highway, Lewes, and the tax parcel ID is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 56.00. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment report. We have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet and the applicant's presentation. We have a copy of a technical advisory committee comment, including a response received from the State Division of Watershed Stewardship. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letter. Plus, we have a copy of the applicant's response to the State's Plus comments and also a copy of the State's Plus comments. And I would note that we have received two comments which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. I hope you're getting extra compensation for being here on your wheelie cart.
Yeah.
I just apologize in advance for the squeakiness.
You would think that, you know, that you work for a builder, there'd be a can of WD-40 somewhere.
I've been getting a lot of grief around the office, like they hear me coming down the hall. So I will try to minimize my movement.
Maybe they like that, so they know when you're coming.
They know when I'm coming, yeah. Now,
they can escape.
Method to their madness.
You did break the speed limit coming in.
I was sweating coming in. This thing's more of a workout than it looks. At least I got a little bit of time before we go. So John Horner here on behalf of the applicant, LIC Housing LLC. With me today are from the development team, Adam and Kelly Geloff, as well as Preston Shell with Ocean Atlantic and Zach Crouch with Davis Bone and Friedel. Just briefly, the project is located on King's Highway in Lewes, Delaware. It's about 4.83 acres and it is for conditional use for an up to 95-unit independent care facility with compatible commercial uses, which are currently proposed to be a restaurant and a fitness center. In evaluating a conditional use, this commission should look to the consistency with the county's comprehensive plan future land use map, its general promotion of the health, safety, and general welfare of Sussex County residents, and is compatibility with the surrounding land uses, and if it's served by adequate infrastructure, meets the code-specific site design guidelines. For reasons that I will highlight, as well as other members on the team will highlight, this project checks all those boxes, and as such, we would a recommendation of approval for a conditional use would be the proper outcome. As a background, AR1 permitted conditional uses are found in Sussex County Code Section 115.22, which specifically allows nursing and similar care facilities. In 2018, the code was updated to codify a specific definition, recognizing that industry was changing and evolving, and to create specific sort of stratifications of uses to recognize the current terminology in the industry. With that definition, one of the definitions that was promulgated included an independent care facility definition, which states a residential development of detached single-family dwellings or multifamily dwelling units restricted to individuals or families in which all residents are older adults. Such development may contain compatible commercial elements. Here, we feel this project meets that definition. It is a 95 unit. It's proposed as an up to 95 unit, age-restricted multifamily community. When I say up to 95, a little later we'll show you some of the renderings and depictions of the building. And it's currently, as it sits right now, designed in 90 units, and that includes some three bedrooms. But we may reduce those three bedrooms to two bedrooms depending on what market demand and studies show us. Typically, we find that in the elderly population, oftentimes it's a two-person home and a third bedroom isn't necessarily as in demand. This would again be restricted to older adults consistent with federal law and the Housing for Older Persons Act, or HOPA. And it does propose the compatible commercial elements, which we'll talk a little bit more about those. But right now it is a public restaurant, which would have a delivery service or system with the residents, so they would have direct access within their units to have the restaurant delivered directly to them, as well as a fitness center or another compatible use. We've had conversations to look at whether it be a physical therapist's office or a doctor's office, something that would be sort of an amenity to the residents of the facility. And with that, I want to turn it over briefly to Kelly Geloff to speak a little bit about the history of the project within her family. A few other things. I'll squeak away now.
So
bad. It really is.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Kelly Geloff, and thank you for this opportunity. We wanted to give you a little bit of a background on this to make it a little bit more personal. I'm here as a representative for the Geloff family, although my husband of 29 years next month is here, and we're both going to be available for some questions if anyone has them of us. We wanted to give you a little frame of reference for our project, as it is more than just a project or an investment property. First, this 5 acres with a small one-bedroom house was purchased by Adam's parents, Dr. Malvin and Helen Geloff, on May 17, 1973, so just over 52 years ago. Adam grew up spending time in this property in Lewis, as well as in Rehoboth Beach. He grew up with his parents both serving others, giving back to their community, their state, and their country, and a appreciation for nature, all are things that we're trying to implement within this project. Over the years, Adam's parents were approached many, many times, if you're familiar with this, where this project is, to sell or develop this property. When they passed away and we took it over, as you can imagine, we've been approached numerous times about this property, including today in the mail, a handwritten note requesting to buy it. But we had been very busy raising our two sons, Zach and Jake, pursuing our careers as attorneys, and as you'll hear, taking care of my mom. So developing this land was not something we had time to dedicate to, as we wanted to be proud of whatever we did here. This meant that we wanted to be sure we had time to dedicate to whatever it is that we decided to do here. Our sons are adults, and we are a very, very close family. We all love this area and want to make a positive impact here. We and our boys have a shared desire to continue the Geloff legacy of giving back to this community. As you may be aware, Zach and Jake started their own Geloff Brothers Foundation that focuses on youth development. They are excited to be a part of this project, and they will be owners and investors with us on this project. This is an opportunity for them to touch the lives of our older community members, as well as the youth of our community. Our family wants this project to be beautiful and comfortable for all that live here and visit. We do feel that this project is giving back to our community because it is offering a missing piece of a continued growing, needed, affordable housing. So why now, and why this active adult independent living? We have a long-standing relationship with Ocean Atlantic Management through many friendships and those that are a part of Ocean Atlantic. We felt comfortable talking through some ideas with them to see what might work well for us. This concept of an active adult community came up in our talks, and as we kept talking about it, what it meant, what did it look like, it really felt right in our hearts. It started to resonate with us that, wow, if we had this kind of an option when my mom was going to come to live with us in 2013, she was 61, this would have been great. We were a family-first family. When we had to move my mom here in 2013, it was because she was living with COPD, or emphysema, and she was living in Rhode Island. When she would have an exacerbation from that condition, if anyone's familiar with it, you do really well for a while, you might be on oxygen, have an exacerbation, not do so well for a week or so, and then she turned herself around and she was able to go back to living independently after about a week or two. When she would have those exacerbations, my sisters and I, who also lived here, as well as our whole family lived here, she was just too far away for us to be there to help her. So she did not want to move in with us, but she didn't want to lose her independence. However, we quickly found that we didn't have an affordable option when we were talking about her coming to live with us. We hoped to keep looking after she moved in with us, and maybe we would find this affordable option, but nothing affordable and manageable was out there in Lewis or Rehoboth Beach, which is where we live. So she felt like she was not only going to be losing her independence, but intruding in our lives by living with us, as well as her grandsons having to share a house with grandma. We didn't have a private suite for her in our house, but we did manage. Living with us was not ideal for any of us, but we did it for 5 years. However, if we had a $2,000 to $3,000 a month option for a one or two bedroom independent living situation like we're presenting here, we would have jumped at that. We had options of very expensive homes. Again, this is back in 2013, very expensive homes or assisted living with a shared room, and nothing was available anyway because I went around to various places, or there were private rooms available, but all of their beds were filled. And if we wanted to reserve a bed for the next one that was available, we had to show them a bank account of, I don't recall exactly, but I definitely remember it was six figures, so whether it was $100,000, $200,000, whatever it was, we had to show them that, and then we could pay $10,000 to $12,000 a month for her to live there. And granted, we are fortunate. We're two successful attorneys. We were making a comfortable living. We were 43 and 45 at the time. But that still wasn't affordable for us. We had two children that were going to be going to college, and we had those expenses that were coming up, and we're also trying to be very responsible and not go into significant debt. It was a very difficult time that I feel like so many people go through at that age, younger, and even currently. So it was a lot. It was a lot for us. If you think about what you make in general, cut it in half after taxes. That's what you're trying to live off of while having children and trying to handle your elderly parents. So at the time, if we could have had a one or two bedroom living community available as we've proposed here, it would have allowed us to let her keep her independence as she could have been left alone. But when she had an exacerbation, a family member, a friend, or any of our helpers could feel comfortable caring for her in her own space and even spending the night with her when needed. This was not easy for us in our home, but our family, including Zach and Jake, would be her caregivers when she had that exacerbation. Also, in this location, being so close to Beebe Hospital would have been amazing. The cheer center right there. The church, she missed going to church. We literally had people come into our home to allow her to have those kinds of interactions. Literally had pastors coming into the home and life coaches and something like that that would just give her peace of mind. So if she had friends or people that she could go downstairs without having to deal with stairs, she had an elevator to go down and just hang out with people that were of her own age, because again, she wasn't sick all the time, she just had those moments. That would have been great. To have a wellness coordinator, which is something we may have, that would be great to be able to go to that person and say, hey, can you make an arrangement for me to get to a doctor? If she had the opportunity to know that she could go to all those free, lovely amenities that are right outside the door of this location, which is beautiful Lewis. This location is really just so incredible for people who are 55 and older that are active and are able to take advantage of these things. So prior to my mom's passing away, my dad, Bill, and my bonus mom, Maureen, who's sitting in the back there, they moved to Delaware. So what we're proposing here is also a great option for my dad and Maureen. Adam and I are in the 55 plus age group, so we're looking at this through the eyes of what would people our age want, as well as what do my parents want. Adam drives by this property every single day on his way to the Lewis office. Zach and Jake have the Geloff Brothers camp that they do every year at Cape Henlopen High School, and will drive by it every Thanksgiving week. They're professional baseball players, so they're only off so often. We feel that our personal experience and desire to leave a Geloff family legacy ties in nicely with the needs of our community right now and in the near future, which is more affordable housing options for active adults that are both already here and those that are moving here. Thank you.
Mr. Hobbles.
Thank you, Kelly. Kelly highlights really the crux of what this project is. If you look sort of at our submissions, we highlight the gap between a project like Beach Plum Dunes right down the road, where two bedroom units are available for $2,000, to right up the road at the Lodge at Lewis, where two bedroom dual occupancy units are $10,000. There is nothing in between in that area. And so for so many seniors that get to that point where they can't maybe live in the home that they're in, or they want more services, or this is the right avenue for them, they're left with a decision. And it might not be a decision that fits their particular needs, fits their particular budget. And they could be forced to make a decision that puts them into a facility that may take a spot in that facility away from somebody who may need that higher level of service more than they do. It was sort of interesting timing. It submitted into the record was an article from Time Magazine, just a one-page article that spoke to this issue of this sort of missing middle. We talk a lot about the missing middle in housing, and this is sort of a different missing middle that isn't really talked about when we colloquially speak of the missing middle in the workforce context. but particularly in Sussex with the graying and aging population, this is gonna become more and more in demand and needed. Right now, the median population in the city of Lewis is 67.3 years old. And when the Lodge at Lewis was undertaken, a market study was done, and it looked at the affordability, and given the advanced levels of services at the Lodge, it was only really affordable to about 15% of people in that market. And looking at that same study and applying it to the proposed rents here, it opens it up to about 50% of the seniors in that market. So it's a dramatic increase of that market. And the reason why that's able to be done is the level of services. When you go to a Beach Plum Dunes, for example, there are no senior-focused amenities. It's a clubhouse, it's a pool, maybe a tot lot, dog park. It's sort of your standard amenity package related to your average consumer, homeowner, renter in the community. When you go to a more advanced facility, it is staffed. I think we have about 110 people or so around that on staff. Is that the right number? 130 people on staff, the Lodge at Lewis, for example, because there's full-time care available, there's memory care, there's meal services on site, and all of that is paid for solely by the residents. The concept here is to have those things be available to a lesser degree and to be in some way subsidized by the public. So for example, the restaurant will be open to the general public, but because it is on site and will offer meal delivery service as part of their lease to the residents aren't taking all of the cost of that food service on them. It's being done at market rate to the outside and subsidizing it. Similarly with the other proposed use, which again is proposed right now to be a fitness facility, it would be open to the public with the residents be able to use that as a subsidized basis. Any other use that we would consider, and so we'd ask for any conditional use were it to be recommended or ultimately granted, to reference the code as a compatible commercial use, because we want to have flexibility. For example, if a physical therapist wanted to go in there, we wanted to be able to have some sort of use that was complementary and not necessarily be locked in on the fitness center. This plan is absolutely in compliance with the comprehensive plan. It's located in the coastal area, which, as you all know, is a designated growth area, which supports a range of housing types, including multifamily and senior housing. Specifically, the comprehensive plan notes in the coastal area that appropriate mixed-use development should also be allowed, as well as light commercial and institutional uses, which can be appropriate to provide for convenience services. This project also meets and advances several of the objectives and strategies of the county's comprehensive plan. For example, objective 8.2.4 is to expand housing opportunities for persons with disabilities and the aging. Again, this is expanding it to, it just doesn't exist here. Strategy 8.2.4.1 is to encourage universal design principles in new home construction and rehabilitation. All the units here will be constructed with universal design to allow a degree of accessibility necessary for an aging senior. It will have the requirements, will meet the requirements for the minimum amount of ADA units. It will meet or exceed those requirements. And then strategy 8.2.4.2, which is continued coordination with the Sussex County Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities to determine barriers and opportunities for the expansion of housing opportunities for persons with disabilities and the aging. As far as the state strategies maps go, this project is located almost entirely in level 2. There is a small back corner of the property that is untouched by this application that is located within level 3, and it is supported by existing infrastructure, including public sewer, Tidewater, Delmarva Power. And this use is consistent with other uses that are in the immediately adjacent area, which include both commercial and higher density uses. We got the state strategies map. Sorry, I forgot about my... Let me see if I can just scroll. Yep. So as you can see, this is the state strategies map here, and you can just see this small back corner here is located within level 3, but otherwise the site is all within level 2 and almost entirely surrounded by level 1. And let's see. So then the surrounding uses, as you can see from here, we have immediately next door is the church. And then we have apartments. We have the Savannah East apartments, the Harbortown apartments, Crooked Hammock Restaurant and Brewery, as well as Beach Plum Dunes, Hunter's Walk. So this is consistent with those other uses, which include multifamily and commercial uses. I'll note the church has submitted a letter in support of this application. We've had very productive conversations with the church about how our services and offerings and even our construction and development can tie in with what they're doing over there. Additionally, I'll note the CHEER New Covenant, or the CHEER Center is back here as well. And for those of you that aren't familiar with CHEER, that's the Harbor Lights CHEER Center, and it is a facility open to individuals age 50 and older, and it offers programming, classes, services, and more, and it is literally walking distance across the parking lot to get there. One other thing I'd like to note is, while the Land Use Reform Working Group has not produced final formal recommendations, I think everybody's been following that process, and a lot of themes have emerged, and one of those themes has been increased density in areas where density should be to focus growth in those areas. This is, in my opinion, the type of project that is contemplated by that. It is a project that has housing for needed people in an area where growth is happening, where improvements are planned or already ongoing. As we know, Kings Highway, and I believe Zach will speak to that, the improvements planned on Kings Highway. So it really aligns with a lot of those goals. And a lot of the goals also have talked about the missing middle and the affordable housing. While, again, this isn't what we've been talking about in that group with the workforce, this is a missing middle and a demographic at a price point that is completely unmet with an increasing demand. With that in mind, I'm going to turn it over to Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Friedel to talk a little bit about the infrastructure impact mitigation and then the compliance with the site-specific criteria. I'm just going to hop away. How am I going to try with that?
We need this one videoed.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Friedel. I'm just kind of going to go over the site plan, the infrastructure, and how we relate to the code requirements. The infrastructure and impacts of the mitigations that we're doing for this site, we have submitted SALER per DLDOT. DLDOT has responded in April of 15th of 2025, in which there's minimum impact based on the trips that were presented. In November of 15th of 2024, DLDOT submitted a letter of amendment to the three things that we need to do. One is we're within the area-wide study fee, and also we have to participate in the Kings Highway improvements. As everyone knows, there's improvements along Kings Highway, and part of that process is that we would have to participate in those. The entrance for this project would be a full-blown entrance until, which would be your left turn lane and your right turn lane into the site, but that would only be temporary until the King Highway improvements are done. Once that's done, there's actually going to be a median within Kings Highway, so it'll be limited to a rights in and rights out. The other request that they wanted was a connection to the northern property, which is in this area here. They want an interpartial connection as well as the multi-use path, which runs along the frontage of the property. As far as environmental, there's 0.57 plus or minus acres of wetlands, which are located in this area here. These wetlands have been delineated by ERI. We are providing a 30-foot buffer, and the stormwater management plan pond, which would actually be an infiltration pond for this project. Woodlands preservation is kind of, we are preserving 27% based on the county's code of woodlands. But I do want to point out that here's an aerial from 2012. This whole area is completely not wooded. It's vegetation that has grown over the past 13 years. The property owner, you know, kind of maintained the property at one specific time as far as cutting the grass and stuff, and basically just, you know, it, for maintenance reasons, just let it grow up. So the trees that we're clearing in this area here, as you see in the next photo, there it is basically undergrowth, small trees. The mature trees that are located in the back based on the 2012, all that's being preserved with a 30-foot buffer. We are within the wellhead protection area. The actual wellhead protection area was just increased, I think, in November of 2024. But there again, per the county's code, we have to comply with 89.6, in which there again, that's the reason why that infiltration pond is there, which requires us to treat all of our discharge with infiltration, as well as we'll have chambers, stormwater chambers underneath the parking lot to do the same thing for infiltration. Per the code, per AR1, the requirement is a minimum of 20,000 square feet, and we're at 4.833 acres. The width is a minimum of 100 feet. We're at 280 feet. We meet all the setbacks of 40 feet for the front, 15 for the sides, and 20 for the rear. Maximum building height is 42. When John gets into the building elevations, the building would be no greater than 42 feet. As far as parking requirements, we're required for 115 parking spots, in which includes the facility, the restaurant, and the fitness formulas per the county's code, and we're actually providing 194. And there again, the reason why there is more of a requirement for the parking lot or for the parking space is that it's anticipated a greater car ownership among the independent living residents than a typical assisted living. So we're trying to, provide as much parking as possible, and also those two facilities will be open to the public as well. As far as utilities, sewer, Sussex County, there's a letter in your packet, which there is capacity for sewer, waters, tide water utilities, which will be providing drinking water as well as fire protection. Electric is Delaware Electric Co-op, and then, of course, State Fire Marshal's Office, which this sprinkling, this building will be sprinklered, and the required fire hydrants for spacing of 800 feet, as well as a fire department connection, and also the turnaround area and fire lanes. Stormwater management, as mentioned, we'll be doing infiltration ponds and also storm chambers for infiltration underneath the parking lot to go there again to meet the county's code within the wellhead protection area. It'll be compliant with the Delaware sediment and stormwater regulations, and as far as 100-year floodplain. There's a small portion of the site which is in the 100-year flood, which is really along the ditch, which will not affect any part of the construction. We won't even be constructing into it. As far as environmental and safety enhancements, EV charging stations will be provided on site. Four stations will be installed with 16 wired. All the lighting within the site will be downward lighting and with shades on it to prevent glare from going off site. And then landscaping, I know there's a comment in the record in reference to the byways. We worked with the byways before. They were part of the PLUS process too. We had to go through them in reference to any signage and or landscaping along Kings Highway. We did it for the Lodge at Lewis. We also did it for Dutchman's Harvest. So there again, that'd be an agency that we work through. And also as part of the site plan in reference to the, in reference to the buffers per the code, there's an option of putting a six-foot high fence along the perimeter in reference to any type of landscaping or screening. So that's what we're proposing for the north side and the south side around the perimeter of the property. And with that said, I'll turn it back over to John.
Up and down was not well thought out in this. I just want to briefly, Sean, I don't think I highlighted too well about what is distinguishing this from a Beach Plum Dunes. I highlighted the uses that we're going to have with the restaurant, the ancillary uses. One of the other proposals is for a wellness concierge, which is going to be somebody who will be on the staff that can help anybody that's living in the facility with their health care needs, whether it be arranging transportation to doctor's appointments, scheduling doctor's appointments. And we hope to continue sort of our relationship that we've had with BB and some of the other projects to try to leverage that to provide those services. So that is another thing that's sort of setting it apart there. The other piece of it is the amenities that are going to be here are going to be designed and installed and chosen in a manner to support this demographic. So you won't necessarily see things, you're not gonna see a tot lot, for example, in this community. So we're still finalizing the design of amenities, I believe, exactly, but that is another thing that will set this apart. In your packets, you also see some sort of proposed findings of facts and conditions of approval. I've touched on already the compatible commercial uses and sort of the need for flexibility in that. I won't touch on all the proposed conditions on there, but I will note again that to meet the definition of the nursing and other facilities, this will have a maximum of 95 units, 55 plus occupancy under the Housing for Older People's Act. That will have compliance with DLDOT road improvements, central water and sewer required. Resource buffer and stormwater best management practices will be followed. There will be restricted construction hours, Monday through Saturday with no Sundays. Light landscaping and downward shielding, lighting along King's Highway, designed in collaboration with Historic Lewis Byways Commission, which as you saw, they submitted a letter into the record. The applicant has a history of working with them, again, with the Black Oak and Laws at Lewis project, so we are very confident in our ability to make them happy with what we plan to do there. In conclusion, this facility serves a much-needed demographic and demand in Sussex County for aging seniors. As our community continues to age, there's going to be more of a need for facilities like this, and this will help to alleviate that price gap between the higher-end facilities that have really intensive services and then the standard apartments that don't have services catered to this demographic. This project satisfies the elements for a conditional use, as it is consistent with the county's comp plan, future land use map, promotes the health, safety, and general welfare of Sussex County residents. It's compatible with the surrounding land uses, which include multifamily and commercial uses in the immediately surrounding area, and is served by adequate infrastructure and meets the codes and site-specific design requirements. It is additionally located within the coastal area growth zone, which promotes a range of housing options and mixed use and institutional uses. And should this application ultimately be approved, we would adhere to any and all conditions imposed on the application. If you have any questions, happy to answer them.
All right, we thank you, sir. We'll start with Mr. Collins.
Thank you for addressing the Lewis Historic Byways engagement. So you covered that already. So it sounds like you may be considering additional commercial presence that would be open to the public, but also serve the needs of the residents. Those are not settled. They'll be in the final site plan, I would imagine.
Well, I think the ultimately we'll plan on having that use lined up well before we go. And so we would ask for the condition to be, and the president can speak to this, is something that is compatible, a commercial use in that space that is compatible with the facility. So
I'm thinking hair salons, nail salons, like
these. Honestly, we have hair salons in the Lodge at Lewis. It's one of the top five requested amenities.
Can you name four,
Michelle, with the applicant?
Thank you.
I don't think that's our intention here, but it could be a doctor's office with BB where they do outpatient stuff and regularly scheduled hours. They do that at both Truett Homestead, the Lodge at Truett Homestead in Rehoboth, and the Lodge at Historic Lewis in Lewis. We had an idea in mind. The Geloffs love something called Orange Theory. They go to all the Orange Theories when they're visiting their sons on their baseball games. And so initially it was going to be an Orange Theory, catered towards an older demographic. But the, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, but the franchise rights to Orange Theory in our area are now gone. So it's not going to be an Orange Theory. So it still may be a fitness facility, but it also we also might talk to Elite Fitness and ask them if they want a presence there in Rehoboth PT. PT on the boardwalk right now. We think that would be a good complementary use. It'll be something that adds value to our residents. Because if you think about it, we have no objective not to do that, because if we do something there that does add value, it brings up the value of 90 to 95 units. And ideally, it's something that is expensive that we provide and is kind of forced on the residents at the Lodge at Historic Lewis, because we're trying to peel it out. And by offering it to the public, then it can just be paid for on an a la carte basis by the tenants in the building.
Got it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I don't have any other questions.
No. Mr. Allen?
The only thing is, I know you're gearing this towards independent care facility, but like with your restaurant, I mean, it's not a plan to turn this into like a restaurant bar.
No, and we should have added more conditions of approval to make that clear.
Okay.
This isn't going to be the Starboard. So we'll put hours of operation and whatever types of other conditions that makes sense, so it's clear the demographic that this is targeting.
Yeah, it's a great idea what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Great question. I don't have any.
No.
Great presentation.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to put something like this here. We absolutely have the need for it. There's no way to monitor the age group. Is there any way we can really track that?
I mean, they've proposed a condition, which I haven't had a chance. I don't know if it's a condition or a finding. I haven't had a chance to look at it. But I mean, there's a way to do that, I don't recall as I sit here right now if we as a county have done it. You can limit the ages of folks that are in a development. There's a provision, a federal provision, that allows you to do that, and I think that's what Mr. Horner cited. I'll go back and look, see if that's something we impose.
That's who we're targeting here.
Yeah,
I want to just make sure that's, excuse me, who we really.
Yeah.
And we are going to do that.
Okay.
And you might have heard, and just to correct something that might have confused the commission, we sometimes refer to this as an active adult plus project, which means the plus is like the additional services, the wellness concierge, the services that people often ask about and think about, like, well, what happens when I'm aging and I need this type of care? The plus is the answer to that, and sometimes we refer to it as independent living light. The project's exactly the same. It's just, it kind of straddles that nexus between full-blown and full-service independent living and active adult, which is assuming that everybody's healthy and doesn't need any services. So it's right in between right there.
Okay.
I would add, you know, we've seen it. I'm more familiar with it in terms of, you know, like condominium projects or subdivisions, you know, whether age-restricted. Not a project like this, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. And I think the way we would do it, looking at the proposed conditions, would say that the applicant has proffered that they are going to do this. That way it's incorporated as a condition, but not one that the county has imposed on an applicant. It's one that they have proffered that we're just memorializing.
Okay.
Right. And we are okay with it being considered a proffered condition. And if whatever the county attorney feels needs to be done, so that is a restriction that you all have the teeth to enforce, we don't have any issues with.
Right, just so we're accommodating the people that really have the greatest need.
Yeah.
And Mr. Crouch, I think you said the 25-foot cross access, that's just gonna be an interconnectivity that DLDOT is requiring, is that which? Sorry.
You can just see the cross-access easement. There again, it's for the property to the north if it's ever developed. I mean, just because of the improvements that are going on Kings Highway.
Okay. All right. And then the other question I have, I know you have a letter of support from the neighboring church, but you're proposing a 6-foot privacy fence. Ideally, I would think that would be for the people that are capable of walking. And if you have that 6-foot privacy fence there, to have gates that there could be pedestrians to get through, not for vehicles, but so if we could accommodate that, just to eliminate people getting back out on Kings Highway.
And to make clear, we may not do that based upon the church's preferences. If you look at the courtyard options that were in that proposal,
mm-hmm.
one of the courtyard options extends beyond our property line. And so that's a courtyard option that can only be considered with the church's approval, and then they would have the right to utilize that courtyard for church-based events. So obviously in that particular case, we would not run a 6-foot fence right through the courtyard.
And I think that's great, as long as the church is okay with that, just to be able to make it more walkable. Okay, anybody else have any other?
Just a question timing-wise, and it doesn't really do necessarily with the project, but just with all your conversations with DLDOT, what are they saying the time frame is for doing Kings Highway? Because, I mean, everybody seems to, and I just think about, yeah.
There's no way I'm going on record about that, about when they're going to do, I mean, as you well know.
It's been 20 years that we've been talking about it.
Yeah, I have spoken with several of the officials. I mean, Jim Satterfield's one of the key people there, and they're moving forward and everything, but it's just a matter of, it's just a snail's pace.
Yeah.
There's a lot involved in the land acquisition for the right-of-ways and stuff like that. So, but I know we're doing some improvements down at the intersection for a new light and stuff for another development. And the same thing, I mean, they are still, you know, pushing along.
Does it look like, just it stinks that if this gets approved and, you know, it's going to take some time to get through all the agency stuff, that you all would install a temporary full-blown entrance that's just going to get ripped out when DLDOT comes
in.
Is there any likelihood that's going to line up at all?
So you're 100% correct. And there again, when we did our meeting with DLDOT, we presented that as saying, hey, if by any means, if something's held up for some reason, can we put a temporary entrance?
Right.
If, you know, by the time you build a building with something like this, which is, what, 18 months? Yeah, so it might line up, and we might not have to do that. So we would definitely track that with Delta, and they know that as well, because you know, because really we're only going to put in and rights out.
Yeah.
If we don't have to do that, because there is a median there, so it's not like you can have full access.
I guess that was the heart of my question: is, you know, what's the chance that that would line up given your timeline and their timeline?
And it's a good possibility, and. If things work out the way they are right now, it's going to be very close. Okay. And that's what I also talked to Preston about before, you know, while we were in this, you know, waiting for our public hearing. It's like, hey, this might work out, but if not, can we put something temporary in? And Delta was fine with that, yes.
Okay. I just was curious about that.
I would be pleasantly surprised if it worked out.
I would love for it to work out because nothing irritates me more than seeing all these entrance ways put in and then they're being destroyed 2 or 3 years later when they finally move on their projects, like,
and we're taking them out
anyway.
Yep. Okay,
not our department, I suppose.
We won't claim that. Okay, if you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2527 LIC housing? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in, what did I just say, in favor of,
in opposition?
In opposition. Okay, is there any other conversation regarding this application? Okay, I'll close the public hearing on conditional use number 2527.